Please turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? And our subject this evening is the duty of examining oneself. Well, we continue in our study of the Apostle Paul's second letter. And second letter to the Corinthians, that is. And we're nearing the very end of the letter. Last week we left off halfway through chapter 12, and we considered together those glorious words of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul, that his grace was sufficient for him. Christ's grace is sufficient for the Apostle Paul, even in his trials. Even with the thorn in the flesh, Christ's grace sufficient, because in the weakness of Paul, the strength of Christ was magnified, was more clearly seen. And these were glorious things to meditate upon. But we move on swiftly. I won't recap at length on what we considered last week, but we move on and we begin halfway through chapter 12 and verse 11. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. And well, of course, we know very well by now that the Apostle Paul has spent much time in this letter defending himself. But in this verse, well, he's asking the Corinthians, why did you not defend me? I have spent a lot of time defending myself, but should not you have commended me? For I ought to have been commended of you. Because when I was with you, it was so obvious that I was an apostle. I was not inferior to any other apostle. He says at the end of verse 11, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you. You saw the signs, you saw the wonders, and the mighty deeds. You should have been defending me, you believers in Corinth. And well, he had behaved in the exact way towards the church in Corinth that he had towards any other church. For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches? I treated you in exactly the same way, except that I myself was not burdensome to you. Chapter verse 13, Apostle Paul, he had not asked the Corinthian believers for any money, for any financial gift. That was the only way in which he had treated the Corinthian church differently. He hadn't asked any money from them. And then at the end he says, forgive me this wrong, quite humorously, quite ironically. Maybe I should have asked money from you, and then you would have treated me a little differently. But all of the signs of an apostle were wrought amongst the Corinthians, and really they should have been earnestly contending for him and defending him. And then, well, verse 14, behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. He only has the Corinthian interest at heart. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Well, the Apostle Paul, he was their father in the faith. He was as a spiritual father to the believers in Corinth, and he sees them as his children. And so he wants to provide for them. He's not going to Corinth to get anything out of them. He wants to provide for them. And in verse 15, again, he says, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Very notable words. He will spend all his resources when he visits them. He will again not ask for any money. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Well, even though some in the church at Corinth had grown cold towards the apostle, they had changed in their estimation of him. They did not love him as much as they had previously. Even though many in the church at Corinth had grown cold, he would not grow cold. He will more abundantly love them. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Your lack of love will not affect my love for you. And well, throughout the following verses, I won't go through everything, but further accusations are dealt with. He was accused of being crafty, and he dismisses that in verse 16 and 17. Did I make a gain of you? And even those whom he sent to the church at Corinth, he sent Titus to the church at Corinth, and Titus had behaved exactly how the Apostle Paul had behaved. He hadn't tried to exploit the believers in Corinth. He had walked in the same spirit. Walked we not in the same spirit? Verse 18, walked we not in the same steps? The Apostle Paul behaved himself in a glorious way, and so did all those whom he sent to the church at Corinth. But then if we read verse 20, well, the Apostle Paul seems to turn the focus away from himself and point it at the church in Corinth, themselves. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. When I come, when I visit, will I find you such as I would? If I were to examine you, the believers in Corinth, what would be the state of the church? And so in the verses that follow, and leading up to verse 5 in chapter 13, well, there is a great building up to this exhortation in verse 5, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. The focus is going to switch. It's been on the Apostle Paul for so long. Now it's going to focus upon the believers in the church in Corinth. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Because after all, the believers in Corinth had spent so much time examining the Apostle Paul and determining his credentials and scrutinizing him, that, well, this was something that now needed to be focused upon themselves. And the believers in Corinth, and we've mentioned this before, when they were examining the Apostle Paul, they had gone about it in the wrong way. They had assessed him from an outward appearance. An outward appearance. We've spoken about this at great length in previous studies. And that was how they assessed the Apostle Paul. And we know that the Apostle Paul's outward appearance was not very impressive. He was he had a weak bodily presence. His speech was described as contemptible. He had some form of physical limitation. Perhaps he had some problem with his eyesight. The thorn in the flesh, remember? To look at, he was completely weak. And that's how the church were beginning to assess him. Oh, this Paul, the Apostle Paul, to look at him, is he really an apostle? He just looks weak. Can we really believe him? But the Apostle Paul responds in this chapter by saying that that was true of Christ. When people looked at Christ, people said he was weak. Christ, well, he was the God-man, of course, but Christ was weak in the flesh. In his human flesh, he had all the physical limitations of any man. He was not superhuman. He had frailties. He was not physically impressive. He was man, normal man, ordinary man in the flesh, and he looked weak. And he was taken and he was crucified, of course. in apparent weakness, and to the outward appearance, Christ was defeated. If Christ dies on the cross, is he not defeated? Remember those who stood before him at the cross, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Remember what they said before Christ. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. That's what they said. In other words, what they were saying, if he is the King of Israel, if he is the Messiah, why is he so weak? Why is he dying on a cross? That's really what they were saying. They were judging it all by an outward appearance. But of course, they were so wrong to do that. Christ, well, even though he died on the cross, he rose again, he ascended on high. He ever lives to intercede for us. The power of God was upon him. And even on the cross, even in his death, he was making atonement for millions of his people. Outwardly, it was a show of weakness, complete weakness. But the power of God was upon him. And the Apostle Paul makes this point in verse 4. For though he was crucified, speaking about Christ, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. We are the same. We look weak, but Christ also looked weak, and he had glorious power. We are the same. We, the apostles, yes, we're weak. Yes, we are frail, but the power of God is upon us. So why do you judge us according to the outward appearance? That is the apostle's reasoning. But examine yourselves, he then goes on to say. Verse 5, examine yourselves. And the apostle Paul wants them, having made this point, to examine themselves in the right way, not outwardly, but spiritually. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. This is a spiritual examination. And well, how important that is, not just for the believers in Corinth, but for every single one of us, every single one in this church, every single believer or who professes faith in Christ. We are to examine ourselves. We often examine ourselves for physical health. How often do we examine ourselves for spiritual health? Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Well, what does it mean to be in the faith? Well, of course, the first and most obvious thing is that you have true faith, saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the very first thing that we need to examine ourselves about, as we considered this morning. Don't be satisfied with anything less than true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in his righteousness, his spotless righteousness, not your own works, not trusting in yourself, not even for a second. I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ entirely, completely, his righteousness. Do you examine yourself in that? Are you leaning wholly upon Christ? Or are you sort of trusting in yourself? I'm a good person, really. Yes, I do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm not all that bad. Is that you? Do you examine yourself in that respect? Are you truly in the faith? And then, of course, we have to believe in Christ's atoning work, that when Christ died, it was for sins that I have committed in my own life. That which I have done today, that which I did yesterday, ever since the day I was born, Christ on the cross suffered the punishment for my sin. Are you in the faith? Examine yourselves. Again, as I mentioned this morning, very briefly, so many people are just happy with the outward religion, but they don't examine themselves. And this is very serious. The Apostle Paul says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves, test yourselves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Is Jesus Christ in you? Do you examine yourself? But what does this mean about reprobates? Well, a reprobate, you may have it in your margin as saying unapproved. That's what reprobate is, and that's true. But a reprobate, to put it very simply, is somebody who is not one of the elect, not one of God's chosen, somebody who will never be saved, somebody who will never come to saving faith. Well, is it possible that a reprobate would be present in the church at Corinth? Yes, it's possible. Again, I mention somebody who is outwardly religious and does religious things and can fit into a church to some degree, but is not actually the Lord's. There can be reprobates in the church, and this is very sad. We all know, of course, how many people will say when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That is a very sad scene. But you know, it would be true to say of that group of people never examined themselves. They never examined themselves. They were complacent. I'm a Christian. Don't you dare question me about my Christianity. They never examined themselves to see if they were truly in the faith. And that had eternal consequences. When they appear before God, well, God never knew them. And why did they not realize? They never examined themselves. So this is the exhortation. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. It's so important to know whether you are a true, sincere believer or whether you are simply a nominal believer, somebody who has never truly trusted in the Lord, somebody who never truly has faith. But if we begin to apply these words a little further, they don't just mean, do we have saving faith? Do we trust in Christ? They do mean that. But when we think about, are we in the faith? We have to think about obedience. Do we obey the word of God? Are we doers of the word, or are we only hearers? You know, nominal Christians normally are just hearers of the word. They come and they like to listen, they just like to hear, but they're not doers of the word. And again, we have to examine ourselves. Obedience, that is a great sign that we are truly in the faith. You cannot really be in the faith if you are not obedient. It is vital. And the Apostle Paul has, in these verses and the previous verses, he has had doubts whether all is well on that count in the church at Corinth. We go back to chapter 12 and verse 20, and again these words, for I fear, the Apostle Paul is fearful of something, lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would. I fear that when I visit the church you will not be obedient, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. They would provoke the severity of the Apostle Paul. And then there comes that list of sins or unholy things in the church. Debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. And these things, well, as we go through this list, maybe it will be good for us to examine ourselves in this church. Are we guilty of any of these things here? Are we guilty of debates? What does debates mean? Well, this is speaking about contentions, even divisions we can apply to this. Groups forming within the church, groups that prevent the unity of the church, divisions, groups that are often warring with one another and competing with one another. Are there debates in that sense? Factions forming in the church? Dear friends, we ought not to have that. There are to be no groups. We are one family. That's how we ought to be. Not many different families competing against each other. Not groups in that sense. We're one family. Unity in the church. One family, one church. No debates, no groups or factions. And then envyings. Well, that's easy enough to understand. Envying another's gift. Maybe somebody else in the church is more able than you at a certain thing, and you're envious about it, and you dislike that person because they have a gift that is better than you. Envyings. And these things lead to discord in the church. You begin to despise somebody because they have a greater gift. Envyings. And then you have wraths. Well, anger, uncontrolled anger, rage, which is such an unholy thing, revealing bitterness within and hatred within, contempt for others. Do we examine ourselves with these things? Examine yourself, whether ye be in the faith. And then you have strifes. That's closely connected to debates, but this would include the going to war against each other that the apostle mentions in his first letter to the Corinthians, bringing lawsuits against fellow Christians and that before the heathens. Well, this means there was no peace in the church, strifes, warring again against each other, backbitings, speaking evil of one another, to spoil somebody's good name. Do we do that? God forbid. Whisperings again, gossip, secretly, privately, spreading malicious rumors and hurtful things about others. We must examine ourselves. Swellings, what's that? Swellings with pride. Somebody who's swollen with pride, they think they're the most important person in the church. They have a greater claim to be in the church than anybody else. And they demand respect and esteem from everybody else. And they slightly look down on everybody else. They're so swollen, puffed up with pride. Do we examine ourselves with this? We must do. And tumults, disorder. This is against the command that the Apostle Paul gives in his first letter to the Corinthians, to do everything decently and in order. But there are some people who want to bring disorder to the church, or those who block the smooth running of something. Perhaps somebody who always disagrees or dissents. Everybody else is in agreement with one thing, but they have to bring a stop to it. They want to break the order, break the peace. Tumults. These things, well, we must examine ourselves as a church and as individuals, because this is what the Apostle Paul brings to them. You have been examining me so much. How about examining yourself? Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Examine ourselves. And well, in verse 5 of chapter 13, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves, but also know ye not your own selves. When we examine ourselves in any respect, we have to know what we are like. We have to know ourselves. Now, it seems like a very obvious thing to say, but sometimes people seem to have so little knowledge of themselves. Again, they scrutinize everybody else, but they're so ignorant, it seems, when it comes to themselves. Do you know your own weaknesses? Do you realize when you are being proud? Do you realize when you are being selfish? Do you realize when you are being manipulative? Do you actually know yourself? You must know yourself. How can you correct yourself if you don't know yourself? How can you pray to God? How can you pray, God, change me, if you don't know what areas you need to be changed? Do you study yourself in that sense? Study yourself, not simply everybody else. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Yes, we pray for the Lord to sanctify us. Only he can truly change us, but we must know what needs to be changed. We must realize our own faults. Know ye not your own selves, says the apostle, that self-knowledge is vital. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. And well, examining ourselves, whether we are in the faith, that of course means that we must trust in God. There's obedience and there's trust. Trust and obey. Do we trust the Lord? Again, we don't make judgments according to the outward appearance of things. Things outwardly may look very bad. Things outwardly may look terrible. But do you have faith? You don't judge by sight alone. You have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have faith that God is in control, that God's ruling over everything. And even if the worst was to happen to you, God is still with you. And all things work together for good. That's faith. Faith is not simply hoping for the best, hoping always for the best outcome. Faith is knowing that even if the worst thing happened, well, it will be good for me. God has allowed it. And I have faith in him because he does all things well. That's faith. Examine yourself to see if you are in the faith. It's put there very specifically. But there is another way, and I'll end with this because we're almost out of time. There is another way in which we can examine ourselves, and this is for our encouragement. This is for our assurance. In fact, the Apostle Paul really in this verse means this verse to be positive. This is really how it is meant here. The apostle is, of course, proving himself to be a true apostle, and one of the evidences that he is a true apostle, one of the evidences are the believers themselves in Corinth. You want evidence that I'm a true apostle? Well, are you not saved? Are you not saved yourselves? Examine yourselves. You've been changed. You've been saved under my ministry, under the teaching of the apostles. Examine yourselves. You have been changed wonderfully and gloriously. Does that not give you assurance that I am a true apostle, as well as assurance of your own salvation? It's actually meant positively in this context, even though we've applied it in a challenging way this evening. But let's end just applying it in that encouraging way. Those of us who are downcast, and we all have times when we are downcast and in despair, do you examine yourself in that encouraging way? Do you think how much the Lord has done for you since you were saved? Do you think how much you've changed since you were saved? Yes, we're not perfect, but think of how much you've changed since you were saved. Sometimes we focus on how we haven't changed over much, and we get very depressed about it. But examine yourself in that encouraging way. I've changed so much. Think of your past life, what you used to do, the things that you delighted in, the things that you spent all your money on and your time on, but you never do that now. Do you examine yourself in that way? What an encouragement. What a glorious thing. I'm really not the person I was. Do you think of how you would have been if you hadn't been saved? That's a thought. Where would you be now, right now, if you had not been saved? Where, what place of sin? What place of wickedness? What wicked things would you be doing? How empty would your life be if you had not been saved? Examine yourself. Look at what the Lord has done, where the Lord has brought you, and allow that to encourage you. Examine yourself and see the glorious things that the Lord has done. How do you react to sin? Yes, sadly, we all are tempted. We can fall to sin. But how do you react? Does it concern you? Are you worried about your sin? Does it trouble you? Is your life a daily battle? Some of us it is. You go out into the world, there are so many temptations, your life is a daily battle. That's actually a good thing. It was never a daily battle before. When you were in the world, everything was so easy. Everything was peaceful. You were under Satan's peace. Now it's a daily battle. That's a good thing. Encourage yourself in that. Examine your life, yourself, the struggles. You're only in the battle because Christ has saved you. Examine yourself in that way. And I often say to people when they're downcast, read your testimony. Examine that. Remember that. Remember those early days of knowing the Lord and how you were so sure that the Lord had changed you. Do you think of that? Do you examine that? And remember the wonder of it all, how God changed you from an earthly person, a person who really had no time for the Lord at all, into somebody who truly loves the Lord and wished he had been saved many years before. Do you examine that? That will encourage you. If God has begun that good work in you, well, we know what the Apostle Paul said, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. This is really the sense of this verse 5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates, but I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. They are truly saved, the Apostle Paul is saying. Christ is in you. And encourage yourself in that. That is to your joy and to your delight. Well, these are the things that present themselves to us in this passage, challenging and yet encouraging in equal measure. May the Lord bless these things to us.